A thought for today. A thought for today. Live your whole ideal life in this moment. Live your whole ideal life in this moment. Live your whole ideal life in this moment. That sounds like a pretty big requirement, a pretty big desire, a pretty big choice. But you'll find that when you start living your whole life in this moment, you will be doing what John told us about this morning. John told us about a man who was a prospector who wanted a horse. And he saw this horse dancing on the horizon, and he wanted to go to this horse. And so he went to this horse. And he was told by the Indian shaman that he had to dance with the horse if he wanted the horse. And he only knew one step. That was why he had the name One Step. So he went up there, and he went near the horse. And the horse went away from him. But he persisted. He went near the horse. Finally, after a great length of time, the horse would allow him to be close to him. And when the horse would go back, when he would go forward, then he would go back and the horse would go forward. It took weeks, months, for them to learn the dance. And when they learned the dance, then the legend was that they became one. When you live your whole life, your whole ideal life in this moment, you are one with your whole ideal life. You are one with everything that makes any difference to you. You are one in and as your body, in and as your mind, your soul. You're one. Now, what does that one mean? Does that mean that you're going to be forever dancing in the moonlight? You see, you cannot conceive what it means to be dancing forever in the moonlight. Because immediately you put the cause in motion that you are doing something physical. And to dance forever in the moonlight with your ideal is not physical. Just think about it for a half a moment and you realize it's not physical. For any person, any human being, to forever dance is an impossibility for the human being. For the divine being, it's not impossible at all. If we want to dance forever as a human being, then we will run out of breath. If we want to dance together with our ideal in life as a divine being, then it's an eternal and a wonderful experience. So, live your whole ideal life in this moment. What is your ideal life? What is your ideal for yourself? What would you really like to do? Well, you name a number of things that you think are important to you, and then when you think about it, they're not really important. Ellen was telling us the other day how she loved the home in Bregenzona. She wanted that home in Bregenzona. She wanted the lofty elevation of that home where she could see over the lake and see over the countryside. It was a glorious thing. But then a tragic thing happened one day. A very tragic thing. She got her dream. She got the house. She got the view. And almost the same moment she got it, she didn't want it anymore. You see, it wasn't her dream as much as she thought it was, as she was, you know, going on the journey to it. But it wasn't her dream. She didn't know what her dream was yet. And that's the way we are. We don't know what our dream is yet. We think our dream for our whole ideal life is that we are physically perfect, mentally alert. We are harmonious, charismatic. We are delightful in every way. These are not the keys. They're lovely things, to be sure. You think being human and experiencing a lovely life with a lovely family, a lovely house, and lovely work, and whatever appeals to you. You can do all those things as a poor person. You can do all those things as a rich person. You can do all those things living on the beach and beachcombing. You can do all those things with being a wealthy, wealthy person. But what does it mean? It is not the answer to your inward quest. It's not the answer to who you are and what you are and what you want to be. You think to live your whole ideal life right now would be living in absolute perfection. Well, in a way, perhaps that might be true. But do you have any concept of what perfection is? Do you have any concept of what this ideal is? And the answer is no. We can only think of a perfect day because it's a lovely day. A perfect wedding because everything went as planned. A perfect marriage because the two are each individual being themselves and having fun, and they're joining together to share ideas together, share thoughts together. They say it'd be nice if we could adopt a child from a wealthy parents. If these very wealthy parents and very intelligent parents had a child and then they somehow died and the child were available for adoption, it'd be nice to adopt it because it'd be a wealthy child. And it would. It'd be a wealthy child because you think it would be a wealthy child, and you react to the child all of its life that it would be a wealthy child. You react to the child all of its life that it's a noble, genius, outstanding, remarkable being. You happen to have the checkbook that goes along with the child because the parents died and left you all their money too. Left the child all his money. That's not hard, is it? All right, let's say that they switch the children in the hospital and you got a child who really wasn't wealthy, but you thought he was. You got a child who didn't come from brilliant parents, but you thought he did. You got a child who had a lot of maladies, and you thought, well, that's okay. We got money to take care of him. You would treat that child as the most brilliant, beautiful, genius child because you would think that's his heritage. And you would give it to him as his heritage because that's what you believed about him, and you would call that forth from that child. It doesn't matter that he was far from the tree. It doesn't matter. It only matters that you, as the parents, treated the child as a genius. And so the child grew up to become noble and great and wonderful and fulfilled and in every wonderful way something spectacular. And you said, but of course. And then the day comes when it's revealed to you that that child was not the child you thought it was. That child was not the child, but the child who was wealthy, who was magnificent, who had wonderful parents with wonderful genes, was raised in a rather tough family, one that did not recognize his brilliance and did not appreciate his idiosyncrasies. And they called him stupid. They called him ignorant. They called him a non-genius. And so he was. You see, what is your whole ideal life? Is your whole ideal life being what other people think you're going to be? Or is it being what you want to be? I can, in a moment, change your attitude about yourself. In a moment, I can hypnotize you and change your attitude. In a moment, I can have your fingerprints taken and show you the fingerprints of a very wealthy person and say, this is who you are. You are not the poor person you have thought you were. Oh, come on now. No, really. See, your fingerprints match. You're the missing heir. You're the missing heir for the Getty fortunes, you know. Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. We can't even conceive that sort of thing, but billions and billions and billions of dollars. So here you are, a little schluck, with just a poor idea of yourself. You're going to up in the morning, out on the job. I got to work for the pay. But that lucky old Getty, he's got nothing to do but spend his money all day. You see, now you're the Getty. Your fingerprints show you are it. You're the heir to that infinite wealth. What's the first thing you're going to do? I'm going to buy myself a pair of shoes. What's the second thing you're going to do? I'm going to buy some nice clothes. What's the third thing you're going to do? Oh, got to buy some nice things for my mom and dad and for my family and this and that. Go out and spend for others, you know. What's the next thing you're going to do? Well, I don't know. Well, you got all that money. I never had it. I have no idea what I should do with it. I can spend it, but I could never spend billions of dollars. I haven't the capacity to spend billions of dollars. And that's true. We don't have the capacity to do that. But what we do have is the capacity to live ideally and wholly perfect with what we have. Saying that you have a great deal of money, or saying that you have good looks, or saying that you are this, that, or the other thing, it makes no difference. But saying right where you are, just who you are, just what you're expressing right now, you are God. You are glorious. You are wonderful. You don't have to dance with horses. You are the horse. You don't have to go out and have money. You are the money. You don't have to go and do it. Live your whole ideal life right now, this moment. And how do you live your whole ideal life right now, this moment? By being yourself and having fun. Why have you come to the monastery here? Not because it's going to be a tedious operation, and because it's going to be tough, and because you're going to be pushed around, and because you're going to be tested all the time on your feelings of being touched, on your feelings of judgment, on your feelings of possession, on your feelings of self-discipline, and all the other wonderful agencies we talk about. No. You didn't come here at all for those things. You came here to be yourself and have fun. And who is this self that you are? Who is this magnificent being that you are? Have you ever questioned that? Have you ever thought about that? Do you like to lay down on the ground and look at the belly flowers and just sort of soak up the belly flowers as they're all around you? Do you like that? Do you like to climb the mountain here? Puff, 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 puff. Go up the mountain and you get to the top. You say, why am I doing this, you know? And then after you're at the top, oh, what a lovely view. It's so worthwhile. And so you're looking all around, enjoying everything you're seeing, and you're saying, hey, this is cool. And then you walk further, and you find nice pathways that sort of wend you around, not toboggan slides, but pathways, you know. And as you find, hey, they take you far afield, because this ridge goes over there, and this ridge goes over here, and these ridges go there. Yesterday, Ellen and I were walking along the path there. And Ellen says, you can't go that way, this isn't good to you. And I said, follow me if you want to, you know. And I just went there and I said, oh, that would make a nice path right down that ridge right there. But then it goes no place. And then we went down there and we found the path that the wetbacks use. It's a well-wet path, a well-trod path, and it's easy to follow. And Ellen says, I knew about that before, but I didn't tell anybody. And I said, well, why didn't you tell anybody? She didn't have an answer. But the point is, you're not up there to take the tough paths and to slide down the hill on your butt and scrape yourself and hurt yourself. You're to walk the gentle paths. And as you walk the gentle path, breathe in the mountain air. Look at the flowers. Stop and lay on your belly and look at the flowers that are growing so close to the earth. Stand on your feet and look out into the distance. Revel in your dance with the mountain, in your oneness with the mountain. Revel in your dance with the sky and the clouds. You're up there with them. You're dancing around as the clouds are whirling and swirling around in gentleness, not some tremendous storm that's a brewing, and that's good too, but just in gentleness. Live your ideal whole life right now. Take every moment as though it's the most precious moment that ever existed, and you'll never have it again, and you won't. Take that moment and live it. Smell those flowers. Ellen came running back to me, and she says, here, smell this. And she had taken off a piece of sage. It's quite nice. But I was standing in a field of sage. But I didn't smell it until she brought that to me. You see, we can stand in the field of glory and feel sad for ourselves. Enter into life. Enter into whatever it is, the outward effect of the mountains and climbing and looking at the clouds. Those are okay, but start climbing your own inner mountain. Start trekking into your inner self and listen to that inner self. And when you listen to that inner self, you know what it's going to say? Smell the roses. Smell the sage. Take time to look at life. If tomorrow all of us were not here anymore, would we be missed? No. Do we want to be missed? No. Did we enjoy our life to the fullest each moment? No. Could we have? But there are so many things we have to do. We have to do this. We have to. Well, that's what you say. You have to do this. You have to do that. You don't really have to do those things. You don't have to do anything. You choose to do it because you love it. You choose to do it because it's exciting. John jumps on the tractor and he says, I am going to make a smooth path. Ingeborg, she jumps on her broom. She takes her broom and she sweeps the walk with her broom. And she says, you know, I like this broom. It has points on it. I can get into the corners and get the dirt out of the corners. I can make everything so beautiful. Who cares whether the sidewalk is swept? Who cares whether the paths are smooth as John runs the tractor down it? Who cares that Anita's horse kisses her? You know? Who cares that Sylvia is making a beautiful meal for herself and enough for everybody else? Who cares? We don't care. If Sylvia weren't making the meal, somebody else would, maybe even us. Who cares what Ellen does, that she's making plans to go to Russia and she's making plans to go around the world and speaking in seminars and introducing people to our philosophy? Who cares? Is Ellen having fun and being herself? Go for it! Is Ellen living for somebody else's opinion of what's important for her to do? Forget it. Tomorrow that person won't be around anymore to tell you that that's important for you to do. And then you'll have to walk alone. That husband or that wife or those children or the mother or the father, they were good for a while, but now they're not here. Now they're not in your presence. Now they're not in your life. You live in their memory, but what a waste. What a waste to live in the past when you can live in the present. You can live 100% in the here and the now. 100%. You know, Ingeborg has a lot of good qualities and a lot of qualities that make her kind of tough to be with. But one of her really good qualities for her, and that's the important thing for her, is that Ingeborg can be sweeping something and there is nobody else in the world. She is sweeping there and she's getting that little dust out of there and she's sweeping this to make it beautiful and clean. And she's using water to scrape this down, make this lovely. And you walk up to her and she doesn't even know you're there. She might see your feet approach and she looks up and says, oh, hello. But she is so one-pointed, so dedicated to doing what she likes to do, that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She sees what she's working on in the immediate present. If she were sweeping and there were a herd of dogs in front of her, and she was sweeping backwards, of course, and for every sweep backwards she made, this herd of dogs would shake off a ton more dirt than she swept up. And so when she got back and she lifted up her eyes to survey what she had done, what happened? I just swept that. Her concentration would be so totally on doing what she's doing, she wouldn't even notice that those dogs are there. She wouldn't even notice that. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, tie that concentration in with another word, with the word I like me. And then, if you look up and see the dogs, you don't say, my gosh, I just swept that. You say, hi guys, what you up to? You want me to come with you? Sure. You don't see anything as a threat to you. Now, Ingeborg could handle those dogs, but could she handle it if all of us were standing there pouring soot on her path? While she's cleaning it up and she looks up and she sees all of us pouring soot on her path, she says, what in the world is this? Now, the puppy dog, she doesn't blame. Good dog, don't you realize I just swept this thing? Why are you doing this? And she's petting them and loving them. Now, you see, when she can pet and love us while we pour soot on her beautifully swept walk, then she's living in paradise. Just that little switch. She's living in paradise. But so long as she says, why are you doing it? Don't you know I just swept that? And when she doesn't have that feeling anymore, but just, hey, what you guys doing there? Did you know I just swept that? What are you doing there? With a smile in her heart and joy in her heart. And okay, so I got to do it again. Just call me the Karate Kid, you know. Just call me Kung Fu. Been there, done that, and I'll do it again. You see, whatever our task, whatever our self-selected task, we do with our whole heart, We live our whole ideal life right now because we love ourselves. Because we love every single thing we do and we're just having a ball in it. Don't give that guy that job. It makes him too happy. Ever hear that? No. Never. If you have a job that you like, you will create yourself doing it again and again and again, or some other job similar to that. You see, you're your own master. Live your whole ideal life right now. Whatever your task is, do it right now. Ingeborg concentrates very thoroughly. So does John. John's doing something, and I come walking along, and I say, "Morning, John!" And boom, you know, he says, "My goodness, there's other people in this world. I thought I was the only one here." And I come into the room there, and Anita's pouring water on the flowers. And I say, "Well, Anita, what do you think you're doing?" And she looks up with startled eyes, and she looks up and says to me, I'm watering flowers, you know, as though she has to explain. And I say, "Ellen, why did you do that again and again and again? What did I do?" And she feels guilty about it. Till I tell her, "Why did you smile at me like that again and again?" Oh, all right, you know. That she can tolerate. But at first, it's a feeling of guilt. What did I do? What did I do? Yeah, yeah. You have to be very careful. Because if you have a feeling of superiority, if you have a feeling of being better than somebody else, or here, this is a lovely one. Ellen knows all about this one. Being your brother's keeper. Are you your brother's keeper? Ellen used to be my keeper. She used to make sure I had everything and did everything right and acted right and wore the right clothes and stuff. But in recent days or hours, she has changed that opinion. And she says, "I'm not going to tell him what to do. He knows what to do. If I tell him to do anything, he's going to do just the opposite. Or he will do exactly what I tell him to do in superabundance where it's going to be not very pleasant. I don't tell anybody else what to do. I don't live anybody else's life. I just live mine." And you may have noticed a change in Ellen in the last couple of days. She hasn't been living somebody else's life. She's just been living her own. And she's just been changing. She's been more beautiful and more sensitive and more loving and more caring than you could ever imagine. Because she's only got one job. To be yourself and have fun. And all of you only have one job. Be yourself and have fun. Sylvie plays that very well. Be yourself and have fun. Be yourself and have fun. Enjoy yourself. Nobody can do it for you. Live your whole ideal life right in this moment. You know? Live your whole ideal life right in this moment. What is your whole ideal life? Good question. When you figure it out, then you can start living it. But so long as you're going around telling other people how to live their life, even in the smallest amount, if you're going to go around being a servant for others, being a mama or a papa for others, telling others how to live, then you're not living yourself. Because when we live our whole ideal life, it is being ourselves and having fun and being number one. And everybody else is number one too. So accept that. Know that. Because you're pretty wonderful. But only for yourself, not for anybody else. The world says, be your brother's keeper. The divine in you says, be your own keeper and have fun. I love you.